I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 473. Always choose the third option. That's where the cute girls are. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hi! I haven't seen you in forever!
It has been a minute and a half.
It has been too long.
I've been a little busy. I was out on the West Coast getting some sunshine. Big shout out to Mae.
I like your tan.
Yeah, I got a little sun. Got a little sun on my face, you know, like you do. Got to hang out with Mayor Young while I was there, which was cool. He will be on the show soon.
Good.
We talked about it.
He really needs to just become the unofficial brother of Electric Sister.
Truth. I'm also working on getting Crix on the show as well, so it'll kind of be like a Gekken-esh thing.
Gekesh
or Eshgen.
I think it's
Eshgen. Yeah.
Better.
Sounds like a fighter in like Toshinden or something.
Eshgen! Hwah!
Yeah.
Ajime.
So anyway, got to spend some really, really nice time out in the City of Angels, soaking up the 80 plus degree weather, which was bomb.
Yes, rub it in that you were.
No, I'm lamenting the fact that I'm now back in literally soon to be sub-zero.
Yep. Sub-zero.
Wins.
Literally wins. Sub-zero wins. Get it? Because the wind level's going to make it really cold here. Yeah.
Really cold here?
Really cold here.
Oh, here. I heard cold here, and I was like, what?
And cold here.
Not and cold here. No. Nothing.
It's going to be cold as fuck.
Yes.
If you're a Boston, it's going to get wicked cold.
It's going to be wicked cold.
It's going to be wicked pissa, kid.
No, it's not going to be pissa. It's just going to be wicked.
Wicked cold, kid.
Wicked cold, kid.
Wicked cold, kid.
So, with that being said, I'm lamenting having to get on a plane and come back.
I'm still sorry.
I'm still in denial, like I put my flip-flops on.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
I did.
Today I'm sitting at work, and my CFO's like, I need you to mail this. I'm like, there's a mailbox outside. He's like, yeah, get your coat. And I'm like, like, but it's cold outside.
And you're like, no, I'm a girl.
Well, I mean, I'm the office manager at my new job.
But still,
so.
But no, I'm a girl. Don't make me go. Make a guy do it.
And he's just like, you better go. And I'm like, oh.
See, for me, like, cold is one of those things that throws all my feminism out the window. Like, I'm like, no, you do it. You're a man. You're big and burly.
Actually, he's not. He's kind of a waif of a man, so it would
have gone
right
through.
That's
what I tell myself. I don't care if I got a 10-pound, 50-pound advantage. I still go, but you're the man. You should do it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
It's the only time my feminism goes out the window, though.
I am all about
equality.
I really am. Like, I'm not a strong female.
You're pretty strong.
I'm okay.
You're pretty strong. You've made it through some shit.
Mentally, I am, like, super fucking
You are not Beyoncé formation strong yet, though. Lord have mercy.
No. But, like, at my job, you know, and I've been there for a little bit now, I'm no longer new, per se. We have a new guy, BJ or TJ or something.
Yeah, we got a new guy. His name Blowjob or something. I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway.
But the point is, like, I will try just about anything. So, like, we have these really heavy things that they're like, oh, we need to get those moved. And I'm like, okay. And I go over to them, and I'm all like, and I'm trying to lift them, and I can't.
And you know that you're not supposed to be lifting anything over 30 pounds anyway.
So then at one point, I try to, like, push it with my butt. Like, because I'm not trying to be like, I need help. Like, I'm the office manager. I'm supposed to be, like, the point of contact person. So, like, I'm scooting this, like, monitor with my butt. And I pass my CEO's office, and he's like, Amanda, with his very calm voice. He kind of reminds me of that guy with the silver hair and the blue eyes, Anderson something.
Anderson Cooper?
Yeah, kind of, but less pale.
Uh-huh.
Like a more colored Anderson Cooper, whoever he is. Kind of like that, and he has that kind of demeanor. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, well, you guys want these things moved, so I'm moving them. And he's like, why didn't you ask any of the strong, strapping young men who work at... And we've got some pretty buff dudes at my office. And I'm just like, because I'm a strong, independent woman, Randy, and I can do it. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And I do. And I butt push it all the way to the storage closet where I find a dolly.
So you didn't go to the closet first?
No. Nope.
You have not ever worked in IT, have you?
No.
Okay. All right. So.
I'm not IT right now, but I was like, really?
But
we had a dolly this whole time?
There's usually always a...
I was like, really? I was like, funny joke universe. Let me eat that crow right quick. Yeah, so now whenever there's anything big or heavy that's near my desk, I'll grab the dolly and, like, I'll get the thing on the dolly, but then I can't move the dolly. So then I have to ask one of the guys to push it to where it's gotta go.
Push it.
It's like, can you move this? I can't do it. I'll buy you some chocolates.
Aside, we are back this week live. Hopefully you enjoyed our clip show last week. Anyway, it was a good one. It was a good one. It's always
so nice.
Interesting to...
It's nice to
have
know.
Have little flashbacks of things.
It's nice to know that...
You're not the only one who says dumb shit.
Yeah. It's absolutely great, because I say dumb shit all the time. So the fact that we got an isolated tidbit of the fact that I don't always say all the stupid things... It was refreshing to me.
Okay, but this week,
I'm back at saying stupid shit.
Yes, and we are recording together live.
Yep, we're in the same space.
So we can talk a bunch of game stuff, and, you know, maybe a little bit of anime this podcast as well. We'll see, time permitting. I'm actually going to jump in, because I got a couple of hot button things that I want to talk about that are near and dear to me. First up on the list is Assassin's Creed and the announcement that Yubi made this week. Did you see the announcement?
No.
So, basically, Ubisoft this week issued a statement saying that they were hoping that people were enjoying all of the additional DLC that they've come up with so far for Syndicate and the things that are yet to come. Running around London is Jacob and Evie, and that they're also hoping that people are enjoying the side-scroller India game.
I heard about that.
Yep, that they came out with, and that they hope that people have been tantalized by the screenshots of Michael Fassbender from the Assassin's movie.
That's right, I heard about Fassbender.
Yeah, he looks like a good assassin. And
do you know who he's going to be?
I don't know who he's going to be yet. I know that they had said that it's not Ezio, so don't expect that it is. Look, the Assassin's League is made up of a lot of different assassins, okay? So, you know, as long as it's not Ezio, then you don't pin yourself on, we already know what Ezio sounds like. We've had 3 games with Ezio Auditore.
Right.
You can't take me into a movie and not have that sound. And guess what? The guy who voiced Ezio Auditore, not really going to pull multiple millions of people in on the visual for a movie. So they're right to do a different assassin entirely.
True.
Yeah. That Fassbender can mold and
well,
be
that's,
his
that's
own
true,
guy.
That's true, because I think anytime I see Fassbender, I think of him from The Counselor, and or I think of him as Magneto.
Right. Right. And that's...
Like, Magneto's an assassin? That makes sense. Just saying.
Well, Magneto is kind of an assassin.
Yeah.
Just for his own means, though. Yeah. So, I think that it's a smart move for the UB team to focus on Fassbender being an assassin that we don't already know, that doesn't have an established lore, so that everybody walking into the movie can be focused
Matt
on
Stewart.
His
assassin. Story.
You know no.
Do you know how funny it would be if, like, if this movie gets really big traction and they do an SNL skit. Kind of like they did with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the Dos Equis. And he was like, Tres Equis. And, like, they made it, like, funnier. So, like, Fassbender's in, like, his suit, and he's doing all of his things. And then, like, Jonah Hill shows up as, like, another assassin. But he's, like, the crap assassin who's not very good. And, like, he can't eagle jump or, like, use his vision. But, like, he somehow gets on the roof, and it's all, like, it took you, like, 2 minutes to get up. Like, should have been, like, a second. And be like, I'm not as good as you, Matt. Mad assassin. Like, that'd be so funny. Like, all right, we're gonna go to the crowd. It's like, and then Jonah Hill, like, goes to the crowd.
Pitch it to Funny or Die.
Like, trying to, like, assimilate, but he's all, like, he's, like, too awkward, and all the girls are like, ooh, and it causes more attention. So he's always running from the cops, even though he's big. So he never loses weight like that guy from Lost.
Anyway, all this wonderful puff and fluff in these first opening paragraphs led to the paragraph which people have been throwing rumors around about for the last couple of weeks, that Yubi was going to announce that they were not going to release an Assassin's game this year. Which is what they said. You know, that they basically acknowledged that they've learned a lot through their Unity creation experience and their Syndicate
experience. It's time for a break.
Not that it was time for a break, but that they wanted to make sure that they were focused on delivering a great experience, and so there would not be a new Assassin's game released in 2016. And I think with all the things that they're doing in Syndicate and, you know, releasing the Assassin's Creed China Chronicles and the India game, I think that people would be pretty well covered through the fall. And Yubi has some other things that they need to work on. That's not to say that they might not tease something that will be coming in 2017, but they will not be releasing a new game in 2016. And I think that that's smart. I think that one of the things that I would like for Yubi to really expand on is Syndicate is really good. As far as Assassin's Creed games go, Syndicate I would put in that same grouping as probably Brotherhood. I would put Syndicate up there with Brotherhood.
I'd agree.
As far as my enjoyment, the story, the gameplay, mechanics, all of that stuff, I would put Syndicate with Brotherhood. In all honesty, my favorite Assassin's game right now to date
is Revelations.
Like, I enjoyed a big chunk of Black Flag, but, like, the undersea battles and a couple of pivotal story points being wrapped around doing sea battles. Like, I never took out a legendary ship. I never was able to get my ship built up enough to...
The Jay's tea to my fiancé, he did. He took to the sea like a boss. And I was like, you should be a pirate in real life. He's like, I get motion sickness.
So I like tracking down the shanties, and I enjoyed some of the water battles. But I actually enjoyed more of, like, the battleship-type battles on the Companion app. For Black
Flag. Send my ships out.
Yeah. Like, I spent more time doing that.
Oh, man.
For the water stuff, he would get resources and things.
And then he would go to those weird lobster, like, those towns, and he would play the games at the bar.
Yeah.
And, like, one of them, he's like, it's, like, the absolute perfect game, because he's a nerd. I mean, to be specific, he's a gaming nerd. He actually works for a pretty big gaming company. And he is always got his UI goggles on whenever he's playing games. And sometimes I find it super cute. But then sometimes I'm like, I'm just trying to get into the narrative. And he's all like, that fucking sucks. Like, do you see that little jaggy piece right there? And I'm like, no. I have no idea what you're talking about. Right. He's like, that's running at 40, blah, blah, blah. Like, how do you know this just by looking at it? And it's his job. Like, it's his job to know that. Right. And he's just like, this is what it looks like at 60. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, this is 40. I'm like, oh, that's slow. He goes, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, slow. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. But yeah. I think that it's a right move to not rush again, especially after just getting a chunk of the Assassin's group back, because Unity did leave a nasty taste in a lot of people's mouths, and a lot of people...
Like semen.
Ew.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people.
That's the reaction.
A lot of people.
Like crusty semen.
Can you stop? Ew. A lot of people.
Like on the towel nasty.
Oh my God. I'm going to kick you out of this podcast. a lot of people were upset and really did not want to give the franchise a second chance. And I think that through the reviews and people playing it, that Yubi did make a comeback, and they got a lot of things right in Syndicate. I still think, for me personally, a missed opportunity was while there were some missions that you had to do as Jacob or as Evie, I do think that there's a missed opportunity to play those missions a second time as the sibling that you didn't play as.
Okay.
Because Jacob and Evie do have two different play styles, so it would be interesting when you were forced into a stealth-only mission, and so you were playing Evie, it would be interesting to see how you would get through that same setup
now,
having to play the brawler, Jacob.
Now, I didn't get too far in my game, but I do enjoy
it. You need to finish Syndicate.
But, so can you... You can't play the whole game as one. Like, you have to be jumping between... So there are two different stories that will blend into one.
Correct. Because Jacob is more of a hothead, whereas Evie is more
practical
planning
and awesome.
And calculating. They're both awesome, but that's why Jacob is the brawler and Evie is the stealth specialist. So while a big chunk of their skills overlap, so as you earn skill points in the game, you can apply them. If you earn them as Jacob, Evie has the same amount of skill points when you open them up, so you can balance and build them up at the same time. But there are some missions that require Jacob's skill set a little bit more than Evie's skill set. So you're forced to, when you play the story mode, it will force switch you if you're one or the other
to the proper person.
I tried to play the entirety of my game as Evie. And so there were some missions where I got forced out of being Evie to having to be Jacob because Jacob was the person experiencing that segment of the story. Because they're basically trying to take over London. And there are multiple ways that you go about that. That you do it through taking over gangs, you do it through building certain relationships with influencers in the city, and that kind of stuff. And so both Jacob and Evie are doing that, but they have different people that they interact with. So their story, they have their own path in the same story.
Okay.
And there are times where it crisscrosses and mingles. There are times where the two of them come to disagree with each other and go off really completely to do their own thing. Which is a very interesting thing because that does happen with siblings. And it's...
We do it all the time.
When it comes up, though, it doesn't feel forced. So that's one of the things I think that Yubi did really well with the story is it's obvious that they took some more time to make sure that they got those human things between siblings right so that it didn't feel forced or mechanical.
It felt legitimate.
Correct.
Ah, because they're siblings.
So I think that it's great, actually, that Yubi is not forced pushing out an Assassin's title just so they can say that they've released one every year since the franchise launched.
I think with all the games they have now, they could have left it and still been like, we still crank out games essentially every year.
Well, I mean, because there's more DLC to come, and there are other games. It's just that there will not be an Assassin's game.
So it's not like, oh man,
coming out.
This is all we do
in October.
No, like they're still in the game.
There's a bunch more for them to do and get involved with. So I personally think that this is a smart thing for them to do, and I'm glad that they're doing it. Next up for me, another thing that people were talking about, my social feeds were blowing up about, and I really am trying to understand what all the hubbub is about, is there's a big segment of the community right now that is upset, and I'm still trying to understand why they're upset, but they are upset that Quantum Break is now going to be released both on the Xbox and on PC. And this is the place where I get lost as a gamer, because I'm like, so you're basically telling me that Quantum Break is coming out on two Microsoft devices, on their console and on their desktops. So that just means more people will have access to play the game.
Yep.
What exactly is the problem here, folks?
I don't get it. I don't get what the issue is, because, okay, we've known from, like, the get-go
that
that Microsoft was never about... It was never, Bill Gates was never about, oh, I want to make a gaming console. It was always going to be an entertainment hub. A hub that could do multiple things.
Yeah, so, and then when they got to the hub spot, they kind of forgot the games part.
Right.
And now,
but I'm just saying that their initial foundation was an entertainment hub.
Yep.
With all these little facets that make it a hub.
Yep.
Microsoft also does computers, which are also kind of
software for computers.
But
they don't make hardware.
Okay, so they don't. All right, fine. They make software.
Correct.
That software is essentially bits of a hub. They use it for entertainment stuff.
Like, let's make it even simpler, Panda. I hate to tell you guys, but your console...
It's a computer!
It's a computer!
You just don't click with a mouse. And actually, you kind of can!
You can use a mouse.
You can. So you know what? Shut Xbox, the fuck up, nerds!
It's just a very super focused... computer.
Calm down, nerd.
Okay, it doesn't have Office on it, but
do you really want Office on your Xbox?
You don't want that.
You know what? I need to go into Outlook right quick. You know, let me pause. Seriously, Destiny.
Hold on. Let me just snap that on the side. Nobody needs that.
No one needs that. You don't even need it for your computer. Okay, Outlook is so outdated.
All your console is a specialized computer, so. You use a different controller to play the games rather than a keyboard and a mouse, but it is a computer. You are computer gaming, whether you are sitting at your desktop or you are sitting in front of a console. What I think that this is a smart move on Microsoft's side because it allows them to really move more peripherals. You know, you already have the ability to use the Xbox wired controller with your PC, with just a little bit of software, the accessories, so that you can so traditional PC gamers can actually use a controller to play various games on their systems. And I think that it's smart for Microsoft to say, hey, we have this awesome exclusive, and as a way to really make sure that we are building our community and not leaving one piece of the community behind because they've been so focused on fixing their console side of the business after the initial launch of the Xbox and its initial reception. I think that it's smart to include the desktop side. I think that it will be successful. And yeah, you should damn sure do it with one of your exclusives because it'll allow you to push people to Windows 10 because you're going to have to be walking Windows 10 to even do it. So I think that there's just a lot of people who are butthurt about either having to update their operating system.
Do you hear it? I hear a million butthurts.
I try not to hear the butthurt because it's really not a pleasant sound and I do want to sleep and not like have it echoing in my head.
It soothes me.
Butthurt should not soothe you, ever.
It doesn't soothe my butthole, but it soothes... Butthurt hurts the butt. But when I hear other people butthurt about stuff, it makes me happy.
So what you're saying is you've got Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Oh, in the best way.
I don't know that there's a best way to have Schadenfreude.
I'm all about the misfortune of others.
I don't know that there is a best way to have Schadenfreude.
Like when people fall at restaurants, I'm that person who laughs really loud.
When you fall at restaurants, no. I'm that person that laughs really loud.
When someone falls, I'm that first.
No, you fall. Which you do.
Yep.
I have photos of it.
I know.
All right. So
well, because I get that shocked look, or like when I trip and I nearly fall.
Or when you're drunk and you fall out of chairs.
Yep. Good times. Good Vegas, times. I miss you.
Oh, I miss Vegas too. I don't know where the butthurt is coming from. I don't know
the
why.
Butt.
Stop it. I don't know why the gaming community is so splintered still between console and PC when it's all, you know, at its core the same hardware.
It's like
it's the
racism.
Same fucking fans. It's the same.
It's one love.
Video cards. Like, they're same fucking hard drives. Yeah. I have a Seagate hard drive, USB, tacked off my Xbox to expand the storage. When I fill that up, I'm going to tack another one on. Like, It's the
people
same.
People would be like, you're not a purist, ninja.
Shit, ultimately, all it comes down to is, do I keyboard and mouse, or do I use a controller? Why is it such a big dividing? Like guys, like, share your thoughts. We want to hear them. Hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofash, or on Twitter, @ESHnews, and let us know. Use hashtag MSButthurt.
MSButthurt.
And just, hurts and all, like, the butts. And tell us, like, why do you think that this has become such a big deal? Because when I say that my feed blew up...
of butthurt.
Just like, half of the people that I know that write in the games industry is like, I just got my thoughts up on blah, blah, blah site to talk about all this Quantum Break hubbub. And I'm like, oh, shit, my first thought was, did they push
Quantum Break? Oh, is it out early? Can I buy it now?
No, my first thought was, did they push it back again? Like that's where my brain went.
No.
Not that people were like, oh, yeah, it's coming out on PC, too, and they're like, fuck this, and throwing tables, like, we're going to start a change.com petition. I'm like, come on.
Guys, separate like, but equal, okay?
First world problems.
Not, oh, so, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my gaming stuff for this week. I have not had a chance to play any Forza yet.
I'm playing Forza.
I installed it on the Expo. It is installed, baby. Okay, and updated. Installed and updated. It is eating up the space on the HD.
We should have done a poll. Or like a running, like, squares. Like, the squares, like, for Super Bowl. It's like, when will Ninja pick up Forza? Like, a month from now? 2 months from now? Never? But anyway, so
you can buy in squares using PayPal.
Exactly.
No, we're not doing that. It is installed.
You say all of it. You lie.
Panda, I will show you.
You don't have to show me nothing.
After the recording, okay, so we can catch it in a blurb at the end, and you can be like, okay, it is installed. It is there.
You know what else is there? Butthurt.
No, butthurt is
butthurt
not.
Butthurt is
there.
There
is no butthurt on my
anyway.
Xbox,
so while ever. It's really funny that you ended your note on the issue between PC versus console, because the game I want to talk about today is a PC game.
Yeah. And we didn't even do show notes this week, so I had no idea what you were talking about.
Nope.
Until you showed up at my house.
And I was like, I'm doing this.
Oh.
I was like, hi, bro, I'm doing this.
It's like we planned it, except we didn't.
We're just in sync like that, bro, because we're relatives.
Even when it's I'm miles away.
It's because we relate.
Because we related.
But I'm talking about a Steam game that a lot of people have been playing, and a lot of people have been getting...
Papers, please?
No.
Don't Starve Together?
I want to play that, but no. So, do you remember a man by the name of Jonathan Blow?
Yeah, he did,
You have them in your hair. Your hair is...
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, he did a game like Braid. Like, that literally was in my head.
Braid.
And I'm like, what game was it? It came out around, like, when Braid came out. Like,
it is
Braid. It's literally floating in my head.
It's Braid.
All right, so I had the right game.
Press X to Braid.
My brain is still in California.
Yes, Jonathan Blow did Braid. And people...
I never finished Braid, did you?
So...
Wait, no, be honest. Did you finish Braid?
No.
Or did someone finish your Braid game?
Someone finished my Braid game. Because I got to a point where I was like, I don't know.
You remember the level where you had the multipaths and you had to figure out, like, at what point you walk backwards, that all the lions walk backwards, and which ones it went forward,
yeah.
And you had to figure out how you had to... I could not figure out how to get to the top.
I got to the point where you are kind of trying to catch up to the woman wifey lady. Like, the way that you're...
I think that was beyond me, but yeah.
Like, you're... She's, like, thinking, and you're trying to get to her, and then you... At some point, because at that point, like, I wasn't getting through it, and the fiancé was like, give it to me. And I was like, I really just want to understand why she's running away from me and why we're not, you know, all that stuff. Because it was quite a deep game if you ever actually played through Braid.
I didn't finish it, so tell me.
So you have to do that backwards... And when you're doing it backwards, when you look at it, you realize, because, you know, there's, like, that element of that darkness and that monster thing that's, like, fucking shit up. And in that particular level, when you're pursuing your wife, when you play it backwards, it shows that you're that monster and she's running from you. So that's why you can't, you are never too, you're never too get her because she's running from you. And pretty much the game starts right where you started. And there's no explanation for that. So I was like, what the fuck? I did all that. And he's like, yeah, I could have told you that, but you wanted to play it. So I let you experience that. But anyway, Braid was phenomenal. People lost their shit for Braid. And then Jonathan
Blow... It was really complex.
And then Jonathan Blow is like, I'm taking a break from games for a while. I'm going to do my own shit. Maybe I'll make another one. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, because there was a lot of things going on. Braid was a very personal game for him. I remember, you know, he really didn't want to do a whole lot of interviews, and he ended up doing a bunch. And really, he just wanted to get the game out and get the story out. And then he didn't expect for it to blow up the way it did.
Well, I think it's because somebody famous, like a rapper or something, actually played it. And one was kind of making digs at it, and then people were like, actually, that looks like a really good game, and then it kind of blew up in a positive way. But anyway, it's been 5 years since Braid.
And Jonathan Blow has made another game?
And Jonathan Blow has, along with he had a studio help him do it, so it wasn't just like a Super Meat Boy or a one-man show, and it's called The Witness.
I've heard about this.
Yes, I
haven't played it, but I've heard about it.
Well, it's really good.
I heard a lot of people be frustrated.
Oh, man. You want to talk butthurt and rage quits? This game. So, literally, in The Witness, you wake up on this island, and it's beautiful.
And it sounds like Far Cry.
It's beautiful. You're on this island. There's a lot of bright colors. It's pleasant. Nothing seems ominous. Nothing's, like, coming at you. You're in first person. You're
happy.
I don't know about that yet, but anyway. But
if I'm on a beach and it's sunny, I'm happy.
But the whole island, you're the only person on the island.
Okay, so you didn't say that before.
Well, you're the only person.
Now my happiness is dwindling.
On the island. And the island is surrounded, or rather is infested, with puzzles.
Well, as long as it's not invested in zombies.
Well, here's the thing, though. I would have preferred the zombies.
You always prefer the zombies.
No, because if you're on an island with zombies, you're on an island. In fact, there's a game,
Dead Island.
That might try
to eat you.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you're on an island, there are zombies, they're dead. You're gonna find shit to hit the zombies. Like,
what if there is no shit? There's not always a guarantee that there's shit on the island,
okay,
Panda.
And then you run until you get eaten, and then you're a zombie, and then you have nothing to worry about. But here's the thing.
That's not my end game, man.
But like I said, on an island with zombies, eventually you're going to come up with I need to do this to solve...
I'm just going
to
swim out to sea and let a shark eat me.
Solve X for zombies.
No.
Like, solve X.
No, no.
But in The Witness...
Shark for zombie.
You need to solve X for a puzzle. And this is where... So
see, I can do puzzles. I can work my brain.
But here's the thing, though.
I need just a thing to turn salt water into water, though.
Because these puzzles, man, are like trippy as fuck puzzles. Like, some of them are... Like, literally, you are looking at a diagram of some sort. Like, imagine two diamonds interloping. And at the bottom, there's a bigger circle. And you boop that, and you have to fill in the path, the proper path to open the puzzle.
The diamond circle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's one type of puzzle.
Okay.
Then, somewhere down,
boop
somewhere...
to show the path. Okay.
But then there's all... So, in one area, that's the type of puzzle. That's the theme of that puzzle. When you move out of that area to another area... The puzzle, the shift of theme of puzzle happens.
Yeah.
So now, oh.
So you have to shift your thinking.
And your perspective.
Okay.
And volume. And then you have to continuously remember the areas that you've been in to help you with these later puzzles. And then even the ground is a puzzle.
So
or
what
even
you're
the
telling
clouds
me
in the sky is a puzzle.
Is that you have to actually pay attention.
To everything.
Everything. And that's a very difficult thing for my completionist sister do. Because you are shiny, happy squirrel key nuts.
Well, here's... Okay, so, yeah. I am very much happy, shiny keys. Oh, what's that? Can I put it in my mouth kind of person.
Oh, wait. I put that in my mouth. I shouldn't have put it in my mouth.
I'm going to do it again.
Baby pizza? Ooh, I'm going to put this in my mouth. Yeah, that's about...
Yeah, but... Okay. So I actively played The Witness with my fiancé, who is a very critical, pragmatic human being. He's the way he thinks is how I wish I could think for like a minute. In just a minute.
You can. I just don't.
No, it hurts. It hurts way too much.
It doesn't hurt. So you just don't do
so
it.
I started off the game very optimistic of my brain skills. Cause you know, I've been kind of adulting lately. I'm able to like think outside of the box.
I mean, you've been successfully adulting now for over a month. I'm very proud.
And like I've been thinking outside of the box, and you definitely need to do that for this game. Like, literally, if you can't think outside of the box, you might as well just
uninstall
this game. Because after a point, like, I guess my face was, like, red, and if you've ever seen my face, to imagine it going from the color it is to red is astounding. And the fiancé was like, let me take this from you before you murder me or the dogs, or you go on this weird killing rampage.
Don't hurt the doggies.
Man. And so he took over, and he completed the game. Now, mind you, Jonathan Blow has stated that this particular game, The Witness, has over 400... unique puzzles in it. But you don't have to complete all 400 of them to complete the game. And, like I said, you need to be perceptive and looking in everything and observing stuff, because there are these little recorders that you can find that have the most pretentious bullshit that I've ever heard come off of them. And some of them have you know, Jonathan Blow's voice, and some of them have this weird robotic lady who sounds like she just kind of woke up from, like, a poop coma.
What the hell? Time out. What does waking up from a poop coma sound like? I don't understand the words that came out of your mouth.
I had a dream once that I was walking to a beach. It was empty.
What does that have to do with poop?
The beach. She's still kind of... In my mind, this girl has just woken up like she had a rage poop. So intense.
Why is everything with you...
It was a rage poop.
Focus around rage poop.
The rage poop was so intense that it took all... Like, drained her energy.
I can't...
And she had to nap. But it was like a dead sleep. What? Like a coma. A poop coma.
No. It's just... No.
And they happen. I know you don't. You've never had to experience one, bro. But let me tell you.
Hey, I have experienced some shit, man.
Have you ever fallen asleep after taking a huge poop?
Yeah.
That's poop coma.
That's a poop nap, not a coma. Woke up.
But how long were you out?
Maybe 15 minutes.
Okay, then yeah, that's a nap. I've had rage poops that literally. Like, I'd get mad, and I would rage poop for, like, 10 minutes, which is a very long time.
I can't believe
like,
we're talking about
like,
this on the podcast.
My legs went numb from sitting on the toilet pooping so much that when I came off the toilet, I said, I need to nap.
You need to see a doctor is what you need.
I went, and I told the fiancé I was taking a nap. I slept the rest of the night until the next morning.
You
I woke up
need
at 6
to consult a physician.
And then,
like right
and I was
now.
Like, I can't play this game because it took 12 hours from me because I was in a poop coma.
Or maybe whatever the fuck you ate.
No, it was pure rage. It was the rage.
You need to see like somebody about that. That was not
a fun poop either. But anyway, but the game, the puzzles. The complexity of puzzles is just really amazing. Some of them really require you to, like, at one point you get a boat, which just comes out of the water. Like, it's not sitting on the water, like, it comes up. So at one point I thought this was, like, a weird Truman Show experiment. Like, someone's watching you do these puzzles on this island, silently watching you. And then, like, it rewards you when you do well and, like, gives you a boat. And then you can do boat puzzles that you're on the boat and you're driving around the island. And then there are puzzles built into, like, the landscape and shit. So anytime you saw, like, a big circle, you knew that was a start point to a puzzle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you were looking at everything, trying to discern if there was possibly a big circle to start a puzzle somewhere. And there are these laser beams that when you complete so many of the puzzles of the mini islands, there's a laser beam that goes to this top of this mountain. And then you go to the mountain and you solve those puzzles. And then you go in the mountain and you solve those puzzles. And then when you come out of the mountain, you're at water. And when you beat those water puzzles, a really weird Willy Wonka elevator comes out of the water. And then you go to heaven? But it's not really heaven. It's actually you coming out of an actual coma. And you're actually Jonathan Blow. Because I don't know.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, I'm spoiling it for you. Because you're not gonna want to play this game because it's beautiful and it's interesting. But you're gonna get mad. You're gonna have a rage poop, and then you're gonna have a poop coma. And I'm trying to save you from potential poop comas in the future. But
So as we
finished the game, the fiance and I, he was so much more taken back by the pretentiousness than I was. And he was like, you know that, like, Jonathan Blow, for like the last few months or whatever, at one point was on like an IV and was like pretty sick and stuff. And I was like, no, I didn't know that.
Well, then it's not pretentious. It's just him.
But
here's sharing his experience in a medium that he knows.
Right. So once again, we're getting a slice of his internal life dialogue. And at the end of the game, when you ascend to heaven, you're actually waking up from a coma. Pooped coma, doesn't matter, it's just a coma. And you're Jonathan...
He's just trying to find ways to say
And you're Jonathan Blow, and you're literally, like, waking up and trying to walk and, you know, what... And then the game ends. Like, you just go through... So it's like... So this whole time, either it's been, like, a dream in Jonathan Blow's head, or it's, like...
Or you were repairing his mind to wake up from the coma.
From the poop coma that he had making the game.
The coma.
But... If you are a smart, like, super smart and observant individual, which generally when I play games, I am not.
Playing, like, a harem game.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
Columbo and shit.
Oh, man. Gotta know how to talk to the ladies. Gotta know. Or, in my last case, gotta learn how to talk to everybody.
Oh, are you playing Hatuofo again?
Actually, I need to replay it because now there's an albatross in it.
Oh, good Lord.
I can romance an albatross. But anyway.
Good Lord.
If you are a smart individual who is looking for something that's completely and utterly challenging, that you will feel very accomplished completing this game. But then you'll be really mad because you don't get a save file. So once you complete the game, it wipes it and you have to do it all over again. Because Jonathan Blow's kind of an asshole. He doesn't want to reward you with remembering how good you did. He wants to make you do it again, Guardian, over and over and over again. It's definitely easy to pick up. Like I said, the puzzles do get exceptionally hard mid of the game. So if you have a pragmatic mind, you will probably have a much better go at this. I wouldn't say there's really much of a story. It's kind of left up for whatever you're going to take away from the experience, more than the actual experience of the character that you play, who you never see. But you do see shadows of them, and it does kind of look like a dude. Though at the beginning, you're kind of a short dude, so I don't know if this is like an evolution of life where you're like a youth. Into, like, adolescence, and then in the end, when you ascend to heaven, you're, like, an old man, you've gone all through your stages of life and whatever. I don't know. But you can get it on Steam. I don't believe it is available anywhere else just yet. General reviews of this game have been exceptionally positive, even though people have been bitching about it because the puzzles are so damn hard, and stuff. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few people complaining about... I will say this. But noting their frustration with The Witness on my socials.
I will say this, though. If you're going to incur the poop rage and possibly end up in a poop coma, at least wait till this game goes on sale. Because currently right now this game is $40. And... from how long I played it versus how long the fiancé played it, I would say for me it was probably a $20 game.
Okay.
And for my boyfriend, who, a fiance, I have to get used to saying that, for him, like, this was a very relaxing, soothing, weird challenge for him. So I'm sure he felt justified in his $40, because he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
He felt justified in that purchase. I obviously didn't. So if you are more of the vein of me, then you will think you paid too much for it right now. And if you're very much like my fiance, then you will probably feel it was pretty justified for what the game presented as a, like, life thought question.
Okay.
But like I said, I'm trying to help you avoid the poop coma, so, you know, make good choices.
Oh, good Lord.
Buy Her Story instead.
Okay.
We bought that, and I'm gonna play the fuck out of that. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple other things to round out our show. One, I want to share about Deadpool. There's nothing spoilerific.
Nope,
about
I haven't
what I'm
seen
about
it
to
yet.
By the Did time you, that this guy yet? Goes live, I will have seen it.
Okay.
But I have not seen it yet, and I've been staying away from most reviews except for one. Betty White.
Betty White went to go see it?
Has seen Deadpool.
Oh, what did she say?
Hello. I just saw the most anticipated movie of the year, Deadpool. It was glorious. Once in a generation, a movie comes along that your whole family will love. If your family is a f***ed up group of kissing inbreds. Plus, Ryan Reynolds looks so f***ing handsome in his red leather suit. I give it 4 Golden Girls. It's the best picture of the year. So, go see Deadpool this Friday.
Fucking Betty White.
One, I fucking love Betty White. 2, I can't wait to see the Deadpool movie. Like, and here's the thing about the Deadpool movie. I have made no bones about it. I am primarily a Marvel girl when it comes to comics. I do enjoy the Batman series. I specifically love the Cassandra Cain line of Batgirl. Like, that's all known. We've talked about it before. And I've picked up some other books that are in the DC realm as well. But I am primarily a Marvel girl, right? That being said, when I was younger, I wasn't crazy into Deadpool. I read some of the books, but really only as I came across them. Like, I didn't go out of my way to pick up a Deadpool book. I did go out of my way to finish some of my Uncanny stories across multiple X-Factor and all of those comics. But I didn't go out of my way to pick up a Deadpool book. Like, if I came across one or somebody had one, I'd read it. Or them. When I met my friend Ben, who had, like, a massive backlog of them. But I didn't go out of my way for it. But whenever I read a Deadpool book, I did really enjoy it. I loved that there was this character that was neither complete good, complete bad, that was completely aware that everything going on to them was fictional. Like, I really enjoy the uniqueness, because Deadpool, to me, and I think is still the only comic book character that knows he's in a comic book and talks to the reader throughout
constantly
the book.
Constantly breaking the fourth wall.
Constantly breaking it. And there's something really enjoyable in that, you know? And so, for Ryan Reynolds, who already is a weirdo,
I feel like this role was really, like,
like, he was made to be Deadpool in a movie. He was made to be Deadpool in a movie. Like, just his natural persona of being on is Deadpool without the violence. So, for him to be Deadpool in the movie, yeah, I say this a lot of times when I see Marvel movies popping up, that I think that it's going to be a great movie. I've been let down a few times.
Which ones?
Iron Man 2 and 3.
Iron Man 3?
3. 3, definitely. 2, I can give
a pass
because they were not expecting Terrence Howard to be like, deuces! And that kind of messed some things up. And I love Don Cheadle. I believe that we even talked about this. I love Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle is not who I would get to replace Terrence Howard as War Machine. Like, I just don't buy.
Yeah. I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't buy him now, as that guy.
I finally have watched all three Iron Man movies, because I saw the first one, and I'm madly in love with that. I didn't hate two, but just, like,
very much.
But, yeah,
it felt kind of kludged together.
Yeah, like, oh, man, we really need to figure out a strong, so powerful we're black guy, so we're going to find one who's not doing anything
right now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to flip the script a little bit to make it more believable and to make his character more of a traditional suit guy. Right. And that's where the whole fallout with Tony happens to justify the fight. Whereas, like, when they left off from the first movie, the way that Terrence played the role, like, you got that he wasn't necessarily a completely by-the-book military guy, and that's why he could
help.
He
wants results, and if he has to play dirty sometimes, he'll play dirty.
You know, especially the whole wink when he looked at the mock-ups and was like, gotta get me one of those. And, like, winked at, like, the bravado made you think that, yeah, he's definitely not a
fucking
suit guy.
Lucius Lyon.
So then to, like, flip that around the second movie, it just kind of felt, like, out of nowhere. And it's, again, because I had to switch actors.
They did.
I get that.
Yeah.
But I didn't can roll
hate,
with it.
I didn't hate two.
I didn't hate two.
Now, here's,
I hated three.
Here's the sucky thing, though, about... Here's what's...
Come
well, I mean,
man.
For me, it doesn't really suck for me, but we rented three, me and the fiancé, and I watched the beginning. I fell asleep maybe 10 minutes into the beginning. I woke up at the end, which was part of the trailer where you see Potts, like, superhumaning it up and, like, kicking ass against that other guy who's also kind of beefed up and whatever because of whatever
she's supposed to be the Mandarin. This is so fucked up. You got Ben Kingsley playing a perfect fucking mandolin, and then you fucking puss out.
Yeah.
And make the nerdy dude that Tony didn't give any time because he was about pussy at the... No. No.
But I woke up to Pepper Potts doing, like, her thing. And
because,
like,
now she's a mutant. Because
now she's a thing. And literally, like, my boyfriend was like, and you've now watched the best parts of the movie. And that was it. And I'm like, so he's like, I'm like, so the middle doesn't, he's like, no, it really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't, it really doesn't.
And they revealed all the cool stuff during the trailer, so you've now seen what you need to see of Iron Man 3.
He's correct.
Well, actually, no, sorry. And you also have to see John Favreau wake up, he just woke up. Okay, now you've seen all the elements that you really needed for this movie.
pretty much.
So, but yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, how do you, I mean, Deadpool, my fiance, I think, got us tickets for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Like, that's our Valentine's Day thing, is to see Deadpool.
Because
it's the best rom-com of the year.
I approve.
Of Shapoople.
Shitpoople.
And, so we're doing that. So by the time this goes live, I will most likely have seen it. What is your take, though, since we're on the Marvel tip right now?
Right.
Doctor Strange.
So here's the thing. I like Doctor Strange.
I like Benedict Cumberbatch.
I like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm.
I have liked every image that I have seen of him in makeup as Doctor Strange.
But?
I want the movie to be good because Doctor Strange is one of those books where it's a very niche audience that likes Doctor Strange because... This is a guy who basically ends up with abilities and absolutely does not want them. And is woe is me about having these abilities. Like, you can still be a fucking doctor, though, kind of, sort of.
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of what was going on with, you know, Jessica Jones with, like, you know, she tried the superhero business, but then it really didn't work, and then she was trying to be normal.
It's a different thing. It's that Jessica Jones gets her abilities. She's not sure really what to do with her abilities, why she has them, all those kinds of things. She has a friend that she's able to step up for, and they form an alliance, and it's her friend who's like, you could really do something positive with this stuff. So she tries it, but it's not really her personality. So she gets out of it.
Okay.
And goes, okay, well then how can I do something that is me and can still be effective in a way that I...
can identify.
Right. And so that's where, you know, the Jessica Jones that, you know, everybody's used to now being introduced to from Netflix and that series winds up at. But Doctor Strange is different, and so I'm glad they're making the movie. Let me start with that, because I think there are a lot of characters who are not, you know, your mainline characters in the Marvel Universe and in the DC Universe who deserve to have a movie treatment and not just an animated movie treatment. Have you had a chance to see the Doctor Strange animated movie?
No.
Piece? Yeah, Warner Brothers did one. I want to say it was like a couple of years ago. And it's really good, and it's a pretty fair introduction to Doctor Strange. But I don't know if Doctor Strange is a character, even with Benedict Cumberbatch playing him, that is big enough to pull in a big audience. And one of the things that you need in order to really get through Phase 3 is all of those movies have to do well. Otherwise, the studio might get a little gun-shy and pull the trigger on one of them. And so where Doctor Strange sits in the releases, I think, I'm a little nervous about if Doctor Strange doesn't do well, Black Panther...
Might not
get all the funding that it should and get the rollout that it should. Like, that's, like, my back of my mind fear. Because, again, like, most people don't know about Doctor Strange. And, like, his whole thing. I don't know. I want it to do well. I don't know that it will.
So wait, so he gets these abilities. Because I don't know much about him.
Yes.
But in the circles that I sit in, there have been many debates about him. Or rather, more about Cumberbatch playing him and how a lot of people are like, well, we like him and he'll do fairly well in it. I guess he wouldn't be their first choice. Because they have to make Cumberbatch like a little bit older.
He's a little bit old. Yes, because Doctor Strange is older. And so basically there's an accident that happens. He's this cocky, brilliant surgeon. Okay. And there's an accident that he's in that cripples his hand. So he can no longer be making brilliant surgeon. He can't use his hands to do that anymore. And goes through all kinds of surgeries and stuff. Basically bankrupts himself, trying to get himself back to where he was. Doesn't work. Ends up being granted basically magical powers and serving as a guardian and a protector basically against the Dark Arts, if I remember correctly. And so he reluctantly ends up becoming this protector and hero. And it is through the use of magic that he is able to use his hands again.
Okay. Which is why he reluctantly does it, because it does grant him the ability to... Because it allows him
to not, you know, be crippled. For the people that love Doctor Strange, love Doctor Strange. Love his books and everything. And I recommend, if you haven't seen the Doctor Strange animated flick, I believe that it is on iTunes for purchase. And I think for a while it was on HBO. I don't know if it's still on HBO Go or now, if you have either of those. But definitely check and see, and if it is, it's worth a watch for sure. Because like I said, it's a nice introduction. So I just started watching a new series that's on Crunchyroll.
Okay, called?
Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World. Panda, you need to watch it.
Okay.
You will love it. So basically what happens is this guy who really doesn't have, like, a lot going on in his life.
Uh-huh.
Named Kazuma.
Of course, Kazuma!
Okay. You know, he's a shut-in.
Okay.
Okay, and he's
having... Hikamori?
Not necessarily. They haven't gotten to the root of it yet, but I think he had a bad experience socially, and it's just decided I'm happier just in my own space, so I'm gonna do that. So not necessarily like I'm scared of the outside world.
Okay.
I prefer my space is kind of the vibe that I get so far. I'm only 5 episodes in, and they've got 6 total, with more that are coming because it's currently simulcasting. But he basically is walking down the street, and he's having an internal dialogue lamenting that he doesn't really have a lot of friends and a lot going on in his life. Talking about, you know, the need for things to be different, but also understanding that they really can't because the world is not a necessarily cool place, and people aren't always
nice,
cool to your face, and or appreciative of the things that you do. And you know, girls sure as hell won't pay attention to him because you know he's quiet. Like he knows his failings, and he's having this dialogue. And as he says it, he sees this girl who's texting on her phone. He's like a girl like that, like would never notice me. Like she's not noticing me now, and basically he's not noticing this truck that he sees off in the distance. And he realizes, oh shit. She's gonna get hit by this truck. So he starts to jump to push her out of the way, and he's like, I don't even know why, like, at this moment, this kind of thing came out of me, because this is so outside of my character to do this. As he's pushing her out of the way, and he's like, but, you know, like, it's the right thing to do, but I can't believe I'm doing this. And so everything fades to black. When it pops back up, there's a woman in front of him who's designed kind of like the witches from The World God Only Knows, the anime series. So she's got like a floating ability, and her hair is done up in a top bow like the ribbon that the girls used to wear. And she's on an astral plane with Cosmo, and she's like, yeah, so, you know, just in case you were wondering, you're dead.
You're dead.
Yeah, you died. And your life was really short. My job is to help ferret young people who die, you know, onto one of their two choices that they have. And you could, you know, be born again and start completely fresh. I'll wipe all your memories. You won't even have any recollection of your life that you previously had now, you know, to go around again and maybe get things right. She's like, or I can send you off to heaven and you can live in heaven as an old man, but I'll tell you, really, you know, that's probably not the best thing that you want to do, because in heaven you don't actually have a corporeal body, so you can't even do any sexual stuff, so it's really not worth it. You just kind of stare into the sun for eternity. It's not really cool. So I kind of have a third option that I think you'd be great for. Basically, the third option is that there's this other universe that exists where, like, there's this devil king guy, and he is, like, just tormenting everybody. So adventurers, very much like in Log Horizon and in Sword Art, gather together to try and take him out. But they've been dying a lot, and when they're coming back, they're choosing not to be reborn. So they're running out of people in this realm. So what I think would work really great, especially for you, because you're in a shut-in neat, and he takes offense to that.
Of course,
and
he's like, he does.
Why are you talking down to me and all this kind of stuff? Yeah, I was a little bit of a shut-in, but I'm not a neat, and I'm not an otaku. Like, calm your shit. And she's laughing this entire time. She's like, I think this would be a better option for you, and you can have, like, one item from your world, whatever it is. It could be from fictional literary works or whatever, but I will craft that thing for you and set you up with some armor, and you'll have all your knowledge and all your wherewithal in this new world and a new body, and you can go off and be this adventurer. And hey, if you actually end up killing the Devil King, then we can grant you any wish that you want in the world. And he's like, well, before we go on, like, is the girl okay? And she's like, oh yeah, she's alive. And he's like, oh good, well, at least my death wasn't in vain. And she goes, oh, well, and she looks at her book. She goes, she wasn't going to get hit by the tractor anyway. She was going to be fine. And he goes, what do you mean tractor? It was a truck. She's like, no, you misconstrued it. It was a trailer that was coming her way, like a farming trailer. And the old man driving it completely stopped in time for her. The truck was going in the other way. And he goes, well, then how did I die? And she goes, well, that was a really funny story, and starts laughing. She goes, you were so sure that you got hit by the truck that you actually went into shock and gave yourself a heart attack. Well, that was, the heart attack came after you pissed your pants, and everybody was looking at you on the ground, including the girl, because you were pissed your pants and you were in shock. And they brought you to the hospital, and the doctors were trying to bring you back, but you were having this heart attack and twitching, and you peed yourself again, and they were kind of laughing, too. But basically, everybody was laughing at you. Even your family was kind of, like, really surprised at the way that you died. Like, it was such a pathetic way to go. And so he's getting really pissed now.
Right.
Because he's like, man, I died. I didn't even do anything valiant. This chick is talking down to me like, no, we're not having that. And so she lays out all the powers and different things that he can have. And she's like, and he's going, you know, looking at this stuff, like all of her weapons and things are really broken. Like there's no way that anybody's going to really be able to ramp these up. He's using his ability for being a shut-in and playing games a bunch. He's like, these things are not going to work. And so she's getting bored and tired. And she's like, will you just hurry up and choose and all that kind of stuff? Because like, I have other humans that I have to push on. And it's obvious that she's full of herself. And so he goes, okay, all right, you want me to hurry up and choose? I choose. Great. Then the thing I want to take with me into this world is you.
Oh.
And she's not paying attention and goes, yeah, okay, so let me get... Wait, what? And just at this moment, another goddess comes down and goes, all right, and seals into the beams of light going into the new dimension, Aqua, who is the goddess, and Kazuma, and says, great, so I'm going to be taking over your job now because you're going to the realm. And she's like, what are you talking about? No, 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 I can't go. Goddess can't go. That's against the rules. And the new goddess, who I haven't learned her name yet, goes, no, no, it's well within the rules, so away you go. Wish you all the best. And, you know, if you defeat the Devil King, then we will grant you any wish that you desire in the universe, it can be yours, and I wish you luck on your journey. And then Aqua goes, that's my line. And then they plop down into this feudal-looking land. So very much, again, think kind of along the lines of Log Horizon or the first Sword Art season. It's very green, verdant.
The starter medieval, level. The starter.
Yeah, place. Medieval area. But because Aqua ended up having to go with Kazuma, he never got his base armor and stuff that she usually sets him up with because she was distracted. So he just plops into this medieval feudal town wearing his green tracksuit that he was in when he died. And she pops in wearing her blue dress and thigh-high socks. And things just go from there of him having to put together a party. And hijinks ensue because everybody that he attracts to the party or gets attracted to the party, they all have issues.
Of course they do.
Okay, one is a masochist.
Of course.
On the down low, though, or is trying to be, and she's the crusader of the group, so she's supposed to be a good...
Like tank?
Like a tank. And so she likes being the tank and just taking damage.
Well, that's what a tank does. A tank is...
She enjoys it. Like, there's one episode, there's one section where they're fighting this bad guy, and he's like, I'm going to put a curse of death on her. And she starts going off on, like, you know, my friends, I know you want to save me, but you can't. You know, this guy is going to take me to his castle because he wants to do horrible, horrible things to me, like tie me up and make me do sexual favors and make me say all these dirty things to him. And, you know, I can't. I'm fighting this with everything I can. And while she's saying this, she's literally, like, running to him to go to the castle with him, and he's looking at her like, what in the fuck are you talking about or saying? I didn't say any of that. I don't want to do any of these things to you. Like, beads of sweat are dripping down his face while he's trying to be a bad person, and he's just like, I have to go now because I don't know, and he runs away while she's running, and Aqua's like, oh no, I can completely lift that death curse. You guys don't have to go to the castle and fight for her. And it's just like, whoop, 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 waves her wand, and the thing is lifted, and then the entire town's like, yay, Aqua's the best! And Kazuya and...
This crusader chick.
No, the other girl, what's her name? It begins with an M. I'm just gonna call her...
Magwin.
No, it's Mab or something. But anyway, she's a fire wizard, a grand fire wizard, and she can do explosion magic.
But
she didn't study any of the interim steps up to being the grand wizard and being able to do the explosion magic. So she can only do one attack. It's a massive, destructive attack.
But that's all she can do. And it takes her forever to do it, and then she has to charge it back up.
And she can't. She can only use it once a day.
Oh, okay.
So once she uses it, she's literally drained and has to be carried off the field.
Wow.
So you have a tank who's a masochist.
You have a tank who likes beatings.
She's like, my attacks don't land, but I could be your shield.
Well, that's essentially in a game, that's what the tank does.
But she gets sexual pleasure for it. So she'll be like, ah, I just have to protect all of my people. And you're like, ew.
Oh my god, no. I have to watch that.
No, and Kazuya's like, I'm surrounded by freaks. Like, none of these girls are useful in any kind of way. And then you have the explosions wizard. Wait,
do you have do they have a healer yet?
That's Aqua. She's the healer.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And so it's really funny. It it picks up jokes in all the right places, and it's just super cute as things go along. So, again, I really like it. I'm addicted to it, so I will finish the whole season. And as I said, it's called Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World.
Okay.
You gotta check it out.
I have to check this out.
So, other things that you have to check out include things like our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Make sure that you subscribe to our feeds, so that way, as soon as we put new content out on the website or we put out new podcasts, you can be alerted and grab them. You can get our podcast in iTunes, either on your desktop application or on your iOS device through the podcast application by searching for S-Cast and subscribing. You can also find us on Google Play. You can find us in Stitcher Radio. You can find us on VogNetwork.com. Pretty much, if it's a podcast search engine out there, if you type in S-Cast, you will find us. So make sure that you subscribe however and wherever you want to and get our podcast as soon as we put it out on the web. Also, make sure that you're checking out all the great entertainment our entire team is putting together. That includes No Borders, No Race, and all the fantastic reviews and previews that go live over at B3Crew.com, created by our homie KBD and the team at B3Crew.com. Also, check out everything going on at NerdCrave.com. Be sure to check out VogNetwork.com. Like, our network is so big, and it's growing all the time. We love the content that we're creating, and we love that you enjoy it. So make sure that you check it all out, including Smash Rook and our homeboy Hamsterman 2049's live streams on Twitch every Wednesday. You gotta check this stuff out. It's so funny. You just wanted to check it out. So with that being said, it's the time in the podcast where I give an award to my sister.
I wonder what's gonna be this week.
And so this podcast, the award for most references to their fiancé in a single podcast that has nothing to do with their fiancé, the award goes to Pandalicious.
Oh my god, so I have to thank my fiancé's parents for fucking, because if they didn't, he wouldn't exist. Then I have to thank him for being, like, the awesome person that he is and being smart, because it was his decision to leave Maine to even come to Massachusetts. And then I have to thank him for going to college and to getting into video games. I have to thank him because he actually was a tester on one of my favorite games of all time. And I have to thank him for being involved with another game developing studio that does another game that I really, really like. And I have to thank the house he bought for us, and I have to thank,
coming on, wrap it
and,
up,
and I have to thank our bathroom because we share it, and I have to thank his face because I get to look at it.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sister
and I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time, folks.
Bye, everybody.